Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with my co-host, Tom Moore. And we are going to be continuing with our theme that we've been working with for the last couple of weeks, By What Authority? Now, this is a live call-in talk show, so the phone lines are going to be open, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. Let me give it to you again, 254-445-2473. Now, we have been talking about authority, and we have seen the importance of identifying the true source of authority for everything that we do, especially in religion. Not just in religion, but especially in religion. And we found out through the last couple of weeks that there is a false standard and there is a true standard. And there are many false standards. We talked about the conscience being a standard that some people use. We talk about dreams and visions, or another way to put this is the direct operation of the Holy Spirit that comes upon some that say that God talks to them and tells them to do this. And by the way, if you're listening and God has spoken to you, we want to hear from you tonight. We want to hear, and we are calling that a false standard of authority. Please call and identify your true standard, if you will, if it is that you have God speak to you. We have also talked about a false standard of authority is a parental authority. And we're not saying to disobey parents, but we're saying if the parent's authority doesn't match up with the true authority, then it is false standard of authority. Majority opinions, the teachings of men, there is only one true standard of authority, and it is God and His revealed Word. And we've covered this for the last couple of weeks, but there are some things that we have not covered. And tonight, what we want to start with is the importance of identifying the true source of authority. Because, Tom, there are many, many people that claim that they have this true source of authority, and that's the reason they do the things that they do. And we just want to bring to attention some of the things that are happening around the world with this very idea.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've heard a lot of things in the news here recently and really over the past years about the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
and how the Muslims, they practice what's called jihad. That is, that they can extinguish, kill anyone who is not of the Muslim faith, Christians, and that's what they believe, the practice of jihad. And they do it by the authority of Allah. And so here we have a people who are killing other people, or so who say they have the right to kill other people, and they're using a standard of authority. But what we need to realize, David, is that standard of authority they're using is not the God of the Bible. They claim that Allah is their God, that He is their authority, but it's not the God of the Bible. And so we've got to realize there are a lot of people who claim that they're using authority for what they're doing, but in reality it is a false authority, even though they claim it's coming from God.
So what you're saying here is that event that we witnessed and experienced here in the United States of America, 9-1-1 is what we call it, that horrible event where those planes were hijacked and all of those people were killed, some 3,000 people were killed on U.S. soil, was done in the name of God according to the Muslim religion.
Yeah, they would say they had the authority by their God to kill some 3,000 Americans on that tragic day.
So just how important is it to identify the true and authentic source of our authority?
That's right. You know, a lot of times people think they're doing things by the authority of God, but in reality, they are not. Let me give you a Bible example of a man who claimed that he was doing what he was doing by the authority of God, but in reality, he was only doing what he wanted to do. You remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that God told Saul in 1 Samuel 15, he says, now in verse 3, "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." And so God tells Saul here to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. But notice what happens, David. In verse 9 it says, of 1 Samuel 15, "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings, of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed." Now the kicker, David, is this. Here Saul's coming back from this battle, and he sees Samuel coming, and as he sees Samuel coming in chapter 15, verse 13, Saul says to Samuel, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord." Now here's a man who said that he did what he did by the authority of God. But the question I have is, did he really? Did he really abide by the authority of God? Well, Samuel put him to the test. And he says there in verse 14, he says, "Well, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ear and the lowing of the oxen which I heard?" And so did Saul really abide by the authority of God?
Partially.
You know, and he said that I have done the commands of God. I have, in essence, he said, I have abided by the authority of God, but in reality he had not. And you know, David, there are a lot of people today in like manner who are claiming that they're doing what they're doing religiously by the authority of God, but in reality, well, they're doing what they want to do and claiming they're doing it by the authority of God. And a close connection with that is the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming that they're doing these things by the authority of Allah, the authority of God, but we realize that Allah is not the God of the Bible, even though they may say he is the God of Abraham, but in reality, he is not the God of the Bible, and therefore their authority they're claiming to use is not really God's authority.
Well, and Jesus kind of clears this up for us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. He says, "By their fruits shall you know them." And he's talking about these false prophets that are coming in here, and "by their fruits shall you know them." Well, we know that in the New Testament, Jesus never sent his disciples out to kill those that didn't believe like they believed. He sent them out to be converted by these individuals who are the advocates for Jesus the Christ. That would be his disciples. They have a mission. We have a mission to go out into all the world and to convert these people. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. He never told us in the New Testament age to go out and kill somebody that does not believe the way that we do. And yet, the Muslims are claiming the authority to have the right to kill every Christian that they call an infidel because we believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They have the authority, according to them, to kill each and every one of us. This makes me wonder when we hear on our own soil about radical Islam and about those individuals who are not radicals, they're just moderate. They're all reading out of the same book. That's the right. Book says the same thing to everybody that reads it, that Quran, and it tells them to kill the infidel.
You know, and David, as a side note, this is something that we need to be very concerned with because mm-hmm. Islam is growing like wildfire. And we need to be concerned about this, and we need to find out more about this religion. Maybe in future radio programs we can talk about the Muslim religion and the things entailed in it. But this is something that's going to cause us great difficulty, especially if they're abiding by what they call their authority and practice jihad Well, if that's the case, there are no Christians that are going to be safe in America.
That's no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. A lot of religious people then take what the Muslims are doing. Religion in general, it wouldn't make any difference whether they call themselves Christians or whether they call themselves Jews or whether they call themselves whatever. A lot of religious people, they take the partial authority that they want to find, just as you mentioned just a moment ago with King Saul. He had the authority to go do something by God. He was told to go do something. He partially obliged. He partially obeyed, and he was happy with that because that's just exactly what he wanted to do. And so he restructured the authority of God to make it fit what he wanted. And we see this in religion everywhere we look. And as a matter of fact, we have another great example of that in 1 Kings chapter 22, when King Ahab, that was king of the northern kingdom. And everybody knows about Ahab. He was the most rotten king that ever served for God in the northern kingdom. He came to the southern kingdom, to Judah, and he asked a king there named Jehoshaphat to help him go and slay the Syrians who were occupying a piece of ground there and to join the battle with him. And Jehoshaphat said he would. He said, but I would pray that, in verse 5, he said unto the king of Israel, that would be Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And what he's asking him there is for authority from God. Get me authority from God that what we're about to do is appropriate, is acceptable. And this translates over here into the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, when we are told by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that writes it here in 1 Kings chapter 22, that whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, or do all in the name or the authority by the authority of. And so Jehoshaphat, he's asking for authority. And so then Ahab, he gathers up the prophets together, 400 men, and he said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle those Syrians, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, these are his personal picked, hand-picked, false prophets. God has not sent these prophets to speak words for him. They are Ahab's false prophets. They have been trained to tell him just exactly what he wants to hear. Well, Jehoshaphat is not fooled by this, and he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? And so he wants authority from God himself, not some false prophet out there that has no authority whatsoever. And by the way, a false prophet, I don't care how many degrees he has, I don't care if you call him an imam or a doctor or whatever it is that you want to call him, if he is not speaking the words of God, he is a false prophet. Prophet, and you shall know him by his fruits. But the problem with that is, it may be too late for you to understand what he's done to you by the time that you identify his fruits.
That's exactly right. And you know, and it's interesting that, you know, in that passage, you find out the reason he called these false prophets in. Because when he was supposed to call in the true prophet of God, he didn't like that guy, did he, David?
No, he did not. As a matter of fact, he talks about him down there. He says, is there not a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab said, oh, yeah, there is one. His name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah, whom we may acquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me. He never says anything good about me. And so we don't want him because he doesn't like me. And a lot of people get this idea that when things don't turn out just exactly the way they want them to turn out, well, it's the preacher's fault.
That's right.
And the preacher may be preaching right straight out of the Bible. Well, I don't like him. I'm leaving this place. I'm going to go find me a preacher that suits me.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who move from church to church until they find what they want, and then they decide, that's my authority. Instead of going by what the Bible said, they try to treat God's word like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
where they kind of go in and they'll pick and choose the things they like, and they'll abide by that and say, that's my authority, and yet reject the other portions of the Bible, just kind of pick and choose what they like. And that's what a lot of people do with God's authority. They don't establish the things they do by all of God's authority, but they just pick and choose these things that they want. And that's exactly what we have happening right here in 1 Kings. It's exactly what we have happening in our world today by people, what you might call the old church-hopping incident going on. And so there's lots of difficulty about authority, because people would rather, well, just simply would rather do things their own way than God's way, and then claim it's authority of God.
And as we have mentioned before, and we're going to have to mention it again, this some people want to get their authority from dreams and visions, or we would say a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you that are out there listening who believe that Jesus Christ speaks to you, or that the Holy Spirit directly operates through you and gives you words and tells you things that you must do and gives you your authority, we want you to call in and please, please tell us and defend that position, because we are saying that is a false source of authority. Now, case in point, We have leaders, not religious leaders, but we have leaders all over the world that are claiming that God is talking to them and they are leading their prospective country in a certain direction because God has told them that this is what they must do for the people. This is God working through them as the leader of the country, and this is what God has told them to tell you. And this kind of stuff has got to be substantiated with true authority if it is so. And we are saying here on this radio program, and we can back it up with Scripture, that is a false sense of authority. Just right here in this United States of America, don't you have a quote that came up, I believe, yesterday, and it was printed in the Washington Examiner, concerning the leader of the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. What did he have to say?
Here's what President Obama said. When I wake up in the morning, I wait on the Lord, and I ask him to give me strength to do right by our country and its people. And that's a noble thought, you know. And he goes on to say, and when I go to bed at night, I wait on the Lord, and I ask him to forgive me of my sins and look after my family and the American people and make me an instrument of his will. Well, David, what is he asking for here when he says, when I wake up in the morning, I wait on the Lord. I ask him, I'm waiting on him for authority. Isn't that what he's saying?
Absolutely.
He's waiting on a direct operation from God to give him what he needs to direct the people. And it's interesting to me when he's asking for all of this religious, this is something that is interesting that is coming up now that, I don't want to read a man's heart, but it's coming up about the time when he's trying to get reelected. Mm-hmm. Is this what he truly believes? Does he really believe that God's his authority? Well, he's asking for God to give him direct operation. Well, we've already shown in other radio programs that that's not the case. And he says that he wants God to make him an instrument of him for the will of the people. Well, where is his authority for this, David?
Well, as the Bible teaches, the faith has been once for all time delivered. So God has delivered everything that he's going to deliver for all time, once for all time delivered. It is delivered in its perfection and it is in its completeness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, all of it, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, he is asking God to make him an instrument of God's will. So, he is saying that I am going to be submissive to God's will, and what I do is going to be God's will coming from me, just as quick as he tells me this. My question is this, and we just read it just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. You shall know them by their fruits.
You know, another thing that really bothers me about this whole scenario, David, is that he's quoting him and talking about faith and religion, and he talks about how that his family, he and his family, have a certain skepticism about organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the church. But if I remember correctly, and I do, the Bible says that Christ died and gave his blood for the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is an organized religion. And if you're throwing skepticism on organized religion, you're throwing skepticism on Christ, well, where is he asking for this authority from? Is he asking it from the God of the Bible? Or is he asking it from Allah?
Well, that I cannot answer, but I do know this, that if we're going to give glory to God by submitting our lives to his will and allowing him to work through us, if we're going to honor and we're going to glorify God, Ephesians chapter 3 tells us how it's going to be done, or it will not be done at all. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Unto him, God, be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages."
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's skeptical about organized religion being, that's a code word for saying the church, if he's skeptical of the church, why in the world would he ask God to give his will through him if he is skeptical of the church? And the only way that we can honor and glorify God is through the church.
Is that not kind of picking and choosing what authority you want to abide by or not? You know, God has given us the organization of the church. How is to be organized? That's organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going against what God says on how his church is to be organized and come together, what makes you think he's going to answer your prayer in some other way? What you're doing here is just picking and choosing. And a lot of time we want, people just want to sound religious, but in reality, they are not really abiding by God's authority to the uttermost. You know, there are a lot of people today who will take authority out of its context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, a passage that everybody knows that has been said often, you know, in John 3 and verse 16, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so remember that God's word is our authority. Now remember, as I talk about this passage, to call in. This is a live radio program. Call in at 254-445-2473. Or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Well, this passage we mentioned just a second ago about God so loved the world, talking about belief. We need to realize that it's... people are saying that all you have to do to become a Christian, to be saved, is believe in the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is taking one passage out of the whole Bible and neglecting all of the other things that the Bible says about salvation. And there are hordes of passages that tells us about different things we need to be doing to be saved, and yet they're taking one passage and making that their final authority. I believe we have a questioner, a caller on the line. If you'll give us your name and question or comment, we'd appreciate it.
Hey, Tom and David, this is Casey.
Yes.
From DeLeon.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to call in. You were talking about, you quoted a little bit about something that President Obama had stated. It reminded me of an Old Testament passage in Numbers chapter 23. We read of a man named Balaam.
Mm-hmm.
And we see his affair there, his dealings with Balak and the word of the Lord that was put in his mouth. He made the statement, can't remember if it's verse 9 or verse 10. I think it's Numbers 23:10. He said that he would rather die the death, basically the idea of the death of a saint, rather than going with Balak. Yet when we read about his life, he didn't respect the authority of God. He didn't live faithfully like what he had said in Numbers 23:10. So it's interesting to me that... so many people today, they say that they want to do what's right, but yet they don't show it in their lives. And it's easy for us to do today as Christians when we let our own desires get in the way.
Very true. And I'm glad that's a perfect passage of Scripture there in Numbers 23 and verse 10. when he says, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. And he didn't mean that, not for 1 minute.
That's exactly right.
But here, when we read this comment that was made yesterday by the President of the United States, and he says, make me an instrument of his will. I wonder if he really thinks that God's will is to support Planned Parenthood with tax dollars for all of the 4,000 abortions a day that take place in this United States of America, which could be stopped if we had the right kind of leadership in place. I wonder if he thinks that's part of his will. What do you think, Casey?
Have no idea. No idea. But, hey, I appreciate you guys. I'm going to go ahead and get off here and let you guys get back to your radio program.
Thank you for calling, Casey. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
It is amazing to me that people will, in claiming to abide by the authority of God, will simply pick and choose things that they want to believe and call that their authority. You know, if you're going to study, David, want to have God's authority on the subject of faith, what we need to do is look at all of the passages mm-hmm. that talk about faith, and then we can come to a conclusion on what God's authority is on that subject. If we want to understand what God says concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we look at all the passages that talk about this, and then we come to a conclusion on God's authority. You know, we can do that on any topic of the Bible, but whenever we start going through and we pick only one isolated passage, or a couple of passages, and leave out all the other things the Bible says about that, do we really, David, have God's authority on that subject?
Absolutely not. I mean, even John chapter 3, verse 16, this is one of the things that you see at all the football games. There'll always be somebody sitting in the end zone waiting for them to kick the extra point, and they'll hold up the sign, John chapter 3, verse 16, which you quoted just a moment ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. Now, that belief there is faith. Faith. Now, what we need to understand is just a belief that you have can be just as erroneous as it can be true. It can be just as false as it can be true, unless that faith is something that comes from the authority of God. Now, we are told how we get that faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now, if I say I've got the faith of God in my head, in my spiritual heart, it is going to come out of this book, or I'm not going to get it at all. And this is where a lot of people get this idea that, and this idea has been implanted by some of the denominational preachers in the world. You just take this blind leap of faith. There is nothing blind. There is nothing leaping about the faith of God. It comes from the knowledge of the Word of God.
That's right. And let me mention here briefly, and we can come back at another time and look at these more carefully, but let's notice quickly some ways in which the Bible says we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
We're saved by hope. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. We're saved by mercy. We're saved by words. We're saved by baptism. We're saved by the word. We're saved by the truth. We're saved by obedience, by the gospel, by the knowledge of the truth, by belief and baptism, by belief and confession, by calling on the name of the Lord. And we can substantiate every single one of those with Bible verses. And what does that tell us, David? Well, it tells us that there's more than just one item. We have to put all these things together for us to really understand God's authority on salvation. And we do that on any subject.
On any subject. You're absolutely right about that. Because if you don't take all of it, and you want to take it out of the right context, where you want to take the Christian age under which we live, that's where we want to get our authority. We don't live under that old law of Moses anymore. We are told in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 that old law of Moses was nailed to the cross. So it was over at the death and the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and after his resurrection and the institution of the kingdom, the church, and when that was instituted, that law of Moses was a law that was being replaced by the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. So we've got to put things in context. We cannot take things out of context, and we cannot take one passage and decide that that is going to be our authority. And what happens here, this is where that direct operation of the Holy Spirit comes into play. So when we don't know what the will of God is, mm-hmm. then we get these ideas that God spoke to me, and we get these ideas that are floating through the air somewhere, maybe in a dream or a vision or this wee little voice, as we have talked about in times past. We get these ideas in people's head, and we say, I know there had to be God speaking to me. I know that this direct operation of the Holy Spirit has to be true. But God says, I'm going to reveal my wishes, my words, my commandments unto you, and those things are to be obeyed. He's not going to ask us to obey something that he has not revealed to us in his word.
Well said. And we're up against a break now, and we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on authority, and we're going to begin talking about the authority of Christ is in his word.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine. And some continued dancing, enjoying the music and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love.
That grace of
someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet and let thy ways be established, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there. And a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We're tonight talking about the authority of God's Word and where why we get our authority. And remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free, and we encourage you to call us at 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Earlier in our program, we talked about identifying the true source of religion, and we gave some examples of people who were using false authorities and maybe partial authority, and then claiming that they had God's authority from God, but in reality, they did not. And what we've shown in other lessons is that God is our ultimate authority, right, David?
Absolutely.
And God has given this authority to Jesus, his son. And we can see this authority by the Bible telling us that we are to hear Christ. It was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and following, that there was coming another prophet besides Moses, and we are told that we are to hear that prophet. Well, that prophet was Jesus. When we talk about Mount of Transfiguration, God told the disciples on that day to hear the words of Jesus. And we're told in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, that God spoke to man in various ways in time past, but in these last days, He spoke unto us by His Son. And so Jesus is our authority. God passed that authority on to Him. Now Jesus has this authority, and this authority is seen in various ways throughout the Bible. For example, we see that His authority is seen in what God has done for Him. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And that's why He is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He also gave Him the authority to execute judgment, didn't He, David?
Yes, He did. Yes, He did.
And so He has given all authority. If He's given all authority to execute judgment, and if He's going to be the judge, then we need to heed Him and listen to Him. And, well, that rules out these little voices, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It rules out the Quran. It rules out the philosophies of men. It rules out what your mom and dad says. We need to listen to Christ.
Well, Tom, there are a lot of people that claim that they are followers of Christ, and they claim that they love the Lord. Some of these individuals even, get on television, do something fabulous, and they beat on their chest and point up into the air, and I'll take Jesus. But the fact of the matter is they want Jesus, but they don't want His word with
Him.
Right. They want Jesus so that they can be called a Christian, so that they can assume the position of a Christian, of a disciple of Christ. But a disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. And you cannot be a follower of Christ if you are not a follower of His word. You cannot reject the word without rejecting Christ. Now, these individuals that say that they are against organized religion, they are actually rejecting Christ, rejecting God's sacrifice for which the sacrifice was made. They are rejecting Christ and His word together, because you can't have one without the other.
And Christ is the head of organized religion, that is, organized religion as is stated in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're against organized religion as the Bible sets forth, then you are against Christ. You can't have one without the other. He bled for the church. He bought
the
church with His own blood. And so we need to realize that Christ is our judge. He is the ruler of all things. He has all authority. And His words spoken carries the authority of God. Again, I remind you of the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where it was prophesied that through Jesus, this authority was going to come. And His word is powerful. His word is something we need to listen to. Again, Matthew 17, verse 5, and Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, Jesus, didn't He, David? He taught that His word was going to be our standard, His standard of judgment in the judgment.
Right.
You remember in John 12, verse 48, He says, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We are going to be judged by the word of God, by the words of Christ. Therefore, His words are our authority.
Well, and we ought to be happy with that.
Yes.
We ought to be thrilled to death with that we know just exactly how we're going to be judged, because Jesus has given us the measuring stick of our judgment. He has given us the word, and the word is revealed. How loving could a God be that would judge us by something that he told some imam over here, but he didn't reveal it to everybody else. But this imam knows that God said such and thus, and he's going to judge us by this, but he didn't tell anybody else. How fortunate we are that Jesus Christ says that I will judge you by my words. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, isn't it very convenient for an individual to reject these words and then to turn right back around and claim, God spoke to me, and this is going to be the measure of our standard of authority?
Right. Now, we've seen so far, David, that the Father has ultimate authority. He has all authority. He has delegated this authority to His Son, Jesus. But realize also, as we think about this, the Bible is also authoritative. Now, remember to call in at 254-445-2473 or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, Jesus has authority. The Father has authority. And Jesus gave His authoritative word that we just talked about to His apostles.
Yes.
You remember in John chapter 17, verse 8, it says, "For I have given unto them," He's talking about His apostles, "the words which Thou," the Father, "gavest me. And they have received them." They received the words of Christ and have known surely that I came from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. He says in verse 14, verse 18, "I sent them in the world to send forth my word." And so Jesus here has given the apostles His word, His authoritative word. Now, David, how did God ensure that the apostles were going to accurately give us the word of God that Jesus gave to them?
Well, He sent the Holy Spirit to take care of that for us. I think it's very interesting to make a note right here about what Jesus is saying. Now, oftentimes we've heard people say, well, now, if you'll just read the red letter part of your Bible, then that's all the authority you need. That's all we need to know, just the red letter part. But right here, what you just got through mentioning to us is when this is Jesus' prayer in the garden to the Father, John chapter 17, verse 8. And He tells the Father right there, "I have given them the words that you have given unto me." This follows just exactly what we've been talking about, the ultimate authority, the supreme authority it has with God. God, He gave it to Jesus, gave it to Christ, Christ gave it in turn to the apostles, and it's going to be carried, and it's going to be apostles, and it's assured these apostles in the first century, when there was no written word in our like we have in our New Testament, He's going to assure them that they will not ever make a mistake in the words that they are speaking. They will be God's words.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He gave the apostles the Holy Spirit to direct them, so that they would teach the Word of God correctly and accurately. In John 14, beginning in verse 25, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, what we have to you, teaching them through those thoughts, ears, very carefully, remember all that I have said. He goes on to say in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and he will show you things. He will show you things. He's going to send him that I'm going to tell him. And so he tells him, and so he tells him, and so he tells him, set forth what I have taught, what I have taught, forth what I have set forth, what I'm going to talk with more eyes, and we're going to touch as I'm sure that this Holy Souls then we do not know today because of the written Word of God in its fullness. We have the written Word of God in its fullness. And so if we want to know what God's will is,
verifying the fact that these apostles would be guided by the exact words of God. They would not have to worry about bringing and recalling into memory like we're going to have to do today. They wouldn't have to worry about that because the Holy Spirit was going to guide them into that. Now, it's fascinating to me that we have a similar situation right here. The Holy Spirit, through this revealed word, bring us right back into remembrance everything that we need to know about life and godliness, everything that we need to know about anything in this life that pertains to our soul salvation. It is revealed to us in this book in the same sense that it was revealed to them, but to us that will not change.
That's right. It is the sword of the Spirit that is able to pierce even to the marrow of our bones, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and following. So we need to realize that God's love and following. So we need to realize that God's Word is authority. Now, this Word of God that was given to His apostles, He promised them that He was going to give them the Holy Spirit. And we see that the apostles spoke the Word of the Spirit revealed to them. For example, in Mark chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost."
So, wait a minute here. What you're telling me then is that these people that are claiming today, they are claiming today that the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to them, giving them the words to go out and preach to everybody. They are claiming the very same thing these apostles would have. Is that not what they're claiming here?
Exactly what they're claiming.
And so they are saying they got the same power, they got the same word, they got the same revelation that the Holy Spirit and that Jesus selected as apostles, but now Jesus or this Holy Spirit is giving them something in addition to what these apostles had. They didn't get it all, and now they're getting what they didn't get.
You know, it's amazing, David, if you think about it, as we were kind of discussing today, how that from A.D. 33 to about A.D. 53, when the first New Testament book was written, that's some 20 years where there was not a New Testament. How did these Christians survive? Well, they survived by men like the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Ghost to give us the actual words of Jesus. Today, though, David, we have the actual Word of God in the pages of the Bible. We don't need the miraculous anymore. We don't need God speaking to men through the Holy Ghost, because we have what the Holy Ghost said to the apostles and Bible writers right here in the New Testament. But we realize that we need to talk about this because Jesus, we're showing here the line of authority. God the Father has ultimate authority. He delegated authority. He delegated this to Jesus. He has given it to the apostles, and to make sure His apostles were teaching exactly what He said, He gave them that the Holy Spirit to direct them in all that God had said, and also to make sure that what they were saying was true.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, we also see that the apostles wrote the word of the Spirit revealed to them. Not only did they speak the truth, but they wrote the truth.
Right.
For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 37, it says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commands of the Lord." And so here Paul is saying, what I write are the commands of the Lord. What was he writing?
God's Word.
He's writing God's Word. He's writing books of the New Testament. So it's important for us to realize that what we have here in the Bible is God's Word. It is a very, well, that's what inspiration means. It comes from that Greek word theopneustos, the God breathed. We have the very breath of God. We have God's authority right here in the pages of the Bible.
Now, we have been asking all night long for somebody to call in who has this, what they want to call the direct operation of the Holy Spirit in them. The number to call is 254-445-2473. If you just have a comment, you have a question, if you would like to show us or tell us where it is that you get this, we are claiming that you are falsely informed. And we want to back it up with the Bible. If you can back it up, if you can, we'd love if you are one of these pastors of one of these holiness churches that have this direct operation of the Holy Spirit, call us. We would like to know where it is that you are getting your authority. We're going to give you a little airtime here. Let everybody know if it is that is true. And the number to call is 254-445-2473. Now, as we have just read in the letter that was written to the church at Corinth, now, Tom, that was a troubled church. The reason it was a troubled church was because in that first century, they were taking these miraculous gifts and using them for other than what they were designed to do, which was to confirm the Word of God. And that's the reason Paul wrote this letter. Beginning in chapter 12, 13, 14, he shows them how that they are supposed to use these miraculous gifts, and it is for the confirmation of the Word until the written, that which is perfect, should come. And we're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
And Jesus says that very thing in Mark chapter 16, verse 20,
mm-hmm.
As the apostles went forth, they preached everywhere the word, working the Lord working with them, and notice, and confirming the word with signs following. Well, David, why did they need to confirm what they were saying with the use of miracles?
Because they didn't have what we have.
That's right.
They didn't have the advantage of the written Word of God, written, revealed, and preserved for our benefit and for our own salvation if we will just use it as the standard of our life.
So today, if someone says something and you don't know if it's right or wrong, true or false, well, we open our Bibles. We'd be like the Bereans in Acts 17, verse mm-hmm. 11, where they search the Scriptures daily to make sure what they were being taught were so. They didn't perform a miracle to prove that they're from God. The Bible says we go to its pages to find out whether or not what they were being taught is really so. And that's what we need to do, because the Bible is God's authority.
Well, there's something interesting about this also. There are so many people out there that say, well, you know, I just can't understand the Bible. I read it and I just don't get anything out of it. And perhaps it is that we are reading it and we're not really focusing on what is going on here. A lot of the New Testament is making reference to the things that have happened in the Old Testament. And perhaps it is that we need a good start. We could help you get this start if it is that you would like. We have Bible studies. We have open Bible studies. We have correspondent Bible studies. And we would be glad to help study with any Bible. But it's not that difficult. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle, as he's writing the letter to the church at Ephesus, He tells them that it is not that difficult. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 3, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, Tommy, a mystery is only a mystery until it has been revealed.
That's right.
Once it is revealed, it is no longer a mystery. It's certainly not mysterious, but people want to think that this is some kind of mysterious word, and you've got to be some doctorate of theology to be able to understand what is written here. But now, this letter to the church at Ephesus were written to just plain old people, just like you, just like me, just like you people listening out there. And he says, how that he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That mystery has been revealed to us. You know, and it can be understood by anybody.
It's amazing to me, people are claiming that they can't understand the Bible. They'll read the Old Testament and they'll come to a passage where it talks about Isaiah's son's name, Meher Shalal Hashbaz, some 21 letters in that name. Oh, the Bible is too difficult for me to understand. I just cannot understand it. And they'll flip over to the book of Revelation and start reading all those signs. Oh, the Bible is just too difficult for me to understand. What we need to realize is, David, we need to read God's Word, and as we read it, carefully, the more we read, the more we're going to understand. I've been told many times that the Bible is really written on like a sixth grade level. We can understand it. As a matter of fact, the Bible was written in Koine Greek. It was the language of the common people. We can understand the Bible, and we can understand it alike if we'll just be honest with the words of God. We can understand.
How loving would a God be that says that you're going to be judged by my words, and then write it in such a fashion that nobody could understand it, that nobody could understand his will, that nobody could understand anything. When we have people that say, I want to be led by God's will. Now, what that individual actually means is that I will submit my will to God's will. I am going to allow God's will to be my will. In other words, I'm going to take his authority, apply it to my life, and then I'm going to use my life with his will.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we honor and glorify God. That is how we do the will of God, and that is how he works through us today. But we can't do it if we do not understand the standard by which we are operating.
You know, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us you can understand the word of God, but we're going to have to spend time in studying and reading God's word. And without that, we just have no hope of understanding it.
Very true.
David, well, we're getting close to the end of our time, and I'm going to let David close us out tonight, but I just want to say that it's important for us. Let's be daily Bible readers. We're going to talk more about how the Scriptures is all that we need religiously because it is our final authority, but the only way we're going to be to understand his authority is to read and study the Bible.
Now, the number to call is 254-445-2473. We're going to be off the air in just a moment, but the email is keqx@rocketmail.com. And if you have any questions or anything that you would like us to talk about on this radio show, just because we're not here on Monday doesn't mean that they don't get the email. So it's keqx@rocketmail.com. Send them an email. We will get the email. It will be forwarded to us. Or you can come by and see me at the Hillcrest Church at Stephenville, Texas, or Tom Moore at the Park Heights Church in Hamilton, Texas. We would be glad to talk to you face to face. And I want to close out again by saying God bless our troops and God bless America.